Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Adventures in Angular. This week on our panel, we have Sunny Yusuf.
Hey, everybody. It's me again.
We also have Subrat Mishra.
Hello.
I'm Charles Max Wood from DevChat.tv, and this week we have a special guest, and that's Stephen Cooper.
Hi, everyone.
Now, do you want to remind everybody who you are and why you're so awesome?
I don't know if I'd say I'm awesome yet, working on it. Probably the thing that I've got my name attached to is ng template outlet, following a talk I did at Angular Connect, I think back in 2019 now. And this last year, I put together an article to go along with that video. And I guess just sharing my experience of how discovering ng template outlet completely transformed my ability to solve some of the issues I was having when designing my Angular apps for customization and flexibility.
Gotcha. When I went freelance, I was still only a few years into my development career. My first contract, I was paid $60 an hour. Due to feedback from my friends, I raised it to $120 an hour on the next contract. And due to the podcasts I was involved in and the screencasts I had made in the past, I started getting calls from people I'd never even heard of who wanted me to do development work for them because I had done that kind of work or talked about or demonstrated that kind of work in the videos and podcasts that I was making. Within a year, I was able to more than double my freelancing rates, and I had more work than I could handle. If you're thinking about freelancing or have a profitable but not busy or fulfilling freelance practice, let me show you how to do it in my Dev Heroes Accelerator. Dev Heroes aren't just people who devs admire, they're also people who deliver for clients who know, like, and trust them. Let me help you double your income and fill your slowdowns. You can learn more at devheroesaccelerator.com. I do have to point out that I'm on the Angular in Depth site right now, and I think you're wearing the same t-shirt that you're wearing in your picture on the website. So
yes.
Thanks for showing up and being consistent for us.
It's the brand image.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you want to just kind of outline the basics of the ng template outlet, you know, what it is, what it does, and then we can start talking about use cases and things like that and really get into, okay, how do we use this? How do we take advantage of it? How do we make sure that it's going to do what we need it to?
Yeah, sure. So I guess ng template outlet, as the name, I guess, is hinting at, is a place for you to render a template. So you're saying I can create a template. So, you know, that might be some section of HTML code, and you can give that a name and that becomes your template. And you can then pass that to an ng template outlet. And Angular then knows how to take that template and render it in the position where the outlet is defined. So that's the initial starting point. But then the thing which makes this template outlet really useful is the fact that you can provide it with some context. And it gives you this amazing ability to merge context from where you're defining a template with where the template is actually being rendered. And it's these things called template variables, I think they're called, I can find the exact name so you can find it in the documentation. But yeah, so it's that context parsing and using, which is what makes this feature so fantastic for providing complete customization on how, say, a list is rendered.
Gotcha. It's kind of reminding me, at least in my head, of the good old days when I would use jQuery and do like inner HTML or something like that, you know, where it's just like, whatever you got, it goes here, right? And you would just identify that div or whatever that you were putting it in. I'm not sure if that completely applies, but that's kind of where my brain went first when I was looking at this.
Yeah, I guess I haven't used that much jQuery myself.
So. Chuck be old.
Yeah, but I think the part of my motivation, I guess, for submitting this talk to Angular Connect and then writing this article was that when I faced this issue with my code, so I was trying to create a customizable like drop-down component, I just couldn't find the right tools for what I wanted to do. And it was really hard to search for this kind of magical thing which would enable me to, you know, provide a custom template to the dropdown. So, you know, so you might have a name and you might have a picture or different icons, and these are conditionally rendered based on the content of the list itself. So when you're defining what your template should be, you don't have all the information you need. So you need to be able to merge that together with the context in the list. And so it took me a long time to try and stumble across, you know, ng template outlets. But then once I found them, it was a game changer, really. So then I wanted to, I guess, share that with other people who hopefully will find them just as useful.
So I'm just going to tee this up because it seems like what you're talking about is something that I've done in the past with like ng4 and then ngif, right? And yeah. I know you talk about this in your article. That's why I know I'm kind of teeing it up. But yeah, you said ngif in your article is the wrong approach to this. And that I'm sitting there going, yeah, but that's what I've done, right? Is I have the ng4 that gives me my list, maybe for the dropdown like you're talking about. And then the ngif is if this is the condition, then this class or put this content in or something like that. And so my sort of template would literally just be hey, we're going to repeat this div and put all this stuff in it.
Yeah.
And then conditionally render pieces of it.
Yeah. And that works. You know, if it didn't work, I don't think you would do it. But it's when you start getting more and more of these conditions and your templates, I guess, start growing and you're getting to that point where it's like, well, actually, I'd like to reuse some of these templates elsewhere. I mean, I need to, you know, copy that same piece of code and reuse it there. So I think it's with a lot of these things, when you want to provide just complete customization, then you can't have these templates defined locally. And I think, I guess, one of the areas where it really becomes, I guess, a different way of solving it is, say you've got multiple clients for what you want to display. So one of your clients might want to have, you know, pictures associated with the data, or another client might not want that. If you're using ngif, you yourself in your code and your library, you have to support that, and in your build you have to have all those assets so that you can support it. And I think this is where then you could be introducing, you know, dependencies into your code, which are only targeting one client, for example. So you're getting this, I guess, code blow, and also, I guess, a bit of a conflict of interest potentially in your own template to support all these different clients, which is something where ng template can come in and completely separate that out. So you've got your core code, which you're responsible for, and then you can create completely separate standalone templates specific to each client that you're supporting, and they don't have to, I guess, overlap or cause any cross dependencies.
Okay, but then why not just use another component, right? Just say, hey, put this component in there for each of the dropdown items or things like that.
Yeah, and I think that is the next kind of step, as in you can just, you know, go to the next level of an effort of creating a component itself and passing the data in. So, I mean, these are all different approaches. And I think, you know, each of them has their own benefits and, I guess, effort associated in setting them up.
I guess my question with a lot of this is, so what's the difference between using an NG4 and an NGIF versus using an NG4 with a component versus using a template outlet? Like, what are the structural differences and what are the trade-offs that I'm making?
So I guess with the first use case there with your NGIF, all the code which could potentially be rendered has to be defined there within your NG4. Mm-hmm. Everything has to live there, whether it's being displayed or not. If you move towards a component, you've encapsulated that knowledge of how it should be displayed. But you still got to define that component within your NG4. So you're still, limited in a sense to the level of flexibility. It still is restricted to what that component can do. But when we move to use an NG template outlet, in your NG4, there's absolutely no information about what that template is going to do or what it represents. All you set up there is some bindings to the context of that template. So you can pass into it, which item is being displayed, potentially which position in the list it is. So that part of your code has no idea and no restrictions on what it's going to display. So I think that's where NG template becomes really, powerful, because if you're creating a library component, you don't have to worry at all about, every different use case. Users can define their template in their own, and you can get a template reference to that template and pass it into the component, or you could even pass it via some store and have these templates dynamically switch. So that's another thing I've experimented with. So I think it's just really giving you just a greater deal of flexibility than NGIFs, or, specifically defining a component which would then handle the complexity for you.
So what I remember, I have used the NG component outlet. So have you heard about that? So it's a kind of similar thing, or there is some pretty huge difference?
No, I think they are fairly similar in what they're doing. One of them will be taking a template, but mm-hmm. another one takes a full component as a reference. I haven't been able to find a use case, in the work that I've been doing for NG component outlets. So I can't say that I've got working experience of them. But I think the idea behind them is similar. I'm not sure how can you pass inputs and outputs into NG component outlets, or
The component outlet I have used for the dynamic component allocation. So just you need to instance the component, pass that. So all the things will go inside. But not the input outlet. I think for input and output unit, for output you need event, for input you need to inject those data. So a little tedious. I think template is a good option.
Yeah, because I think that's the useful part here is the context and the fact that you can put even like callback functions on there. Mm-hmm. So for example, you might be able to, on that context object, provide a method which says, buy this, and the which actual item you're buying comes from the list itself. So it's this mixing together of data from the list of where it's being rendered with, controls or settings from external to that template. Mm-hmm. I think this topic is probably quite hard to really grasp just verbally, which is why, definitely recommend looking at, either the article or watching the video, so you can see the code and see how the code changes when you go from a NGIF approach to using the template. Because I think it does take a little bit of time to be able to really picture it in your mind how this changes where the data is coming from and where the context is used.
I think here, as you can insert a whole template, so this can also be used in the lazy loading of the component, right? So once you lazy import the component and then assign to NG template outlet, will that also work?
So if you lazy load the component and then, mm-hmm. I guess would be that it should work. Because you can provide these templates dynamically, or you know, you can set up multiple templates and pass them around. And also, I think, you know, the ability that where you could define a template in one location and then reuse it in multiple places as well is quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
So how do these actually work? I'm kind of curious, as we've talked about some of these options. I think NGF is probably the best understood. And then the component outlet, you know, just dynamically adding in a component or, yeah, the template outlet. How does the template outlet actually work?
So the first thing that you'll find that you need to define is the template itself. So to do that, there is an ng-template element. Mm-hmm. And then you use a syntax like hash and then give it a name. You then have access to that template reference, you know, using that name. So if you define your template in your code and say this is, you know, my template, then you need somewhere to then output or render that template. So you could use the ng-container element and then, you know, open up square brackets and use this directive ng-template outlet and give that the name that you use to, you know, define your ng-template. And then what you'll see is that whatever is within that template then actually gets rendered where the ng-template outlet directive is used. So if you inspect the HTML code, if you define anything within ng-template, that will all appear as just commented out, and it won't actually render anything into your, you know, the browser output. So it's not until you then assign that to an ng-template outlet that it will then be rendered in that location. So you can attach the directive to ng-container or another ng-template or even a div, and it's just the difference of where that gets rendered. The nice thing about using ng-container is that the ng-container element itself disappears. So it is just your template, you know, which then gets rendered into that location. And then if you want to provide context to your template, there's two parts to this. So where you're passing your template and using the ng-template outlet directive, you can either provide another directive called ng-template outlet context, or there's a shorthand for this where you can define the context. And that is a freeform object where you can assign, you know, options or indices. And these names are, we will refer back to them when we're defining our template. So once you've set that context object up, if you go back to your ng-template where you're defining your template, you can then use these things called template input variables. So this is where you'll see like let option or let position equals, you know, index. And this is where you can access the properties that you've added to the context object where you're using your ng-template outlet. And where in your input variable you've got let option, you'll then be able to refer to that option within your template, you know, within the double curly brackets, and have that option rendered there. But at runtime, that option will be replaced with whatever is supplied to the context. And so this is where, when you're writing your template, you suddenly have access to the data, you know, where it's going to be rendered, and you can set up your template using it and, you know, do all your conditional logic there if you want to. Or you might not need any conditional logic because you could just provide different templates. I don't know if that makes sense or...
Yep, mostly, yep.
So I think, as I understood, it also will have the access to all your inputs and outputs to the client. It's just rendering the data. Is that...
Yeah, so within your wherever you define your template, you have access to all the variables on the component where, you know, where you're currently defining that. But it will also have access to these template input variables that will be provided via the context of where it's rendered.
Mm-hmm. So like the one small question, like will it affect any rendering process? Like how Angular renders, will that improve or will it affect anything on that?
I can't say that I've profiled it in terms of, you know, its rendering performance. So I can't give you a definitive answer there. I think definitely my motivation with using this was I can define this, I can separate the code from my different clients. But yeah, I would and have to investigate it further. But you know, this is, you know, a core feature of Angular. So I'm sure that they have worked to make sure that it fits a similar model and works, you know, in an optimal way.
Yep.
Are you ready for Core Web Vitals? Fortunately, Raygun can help. These modern performance metrics play an important role in determining the health of your website, which is why Raygun has baked them directly into their real user monitoring tools. Now you can see your Core Web Vital scores are trending across your entire website in real time and drill into individual pages to focus your efforts on the biggest performance gains. Unlike traditional tools, Raygun surfaces real user data, not synthetic, giving you greater insights and control. Filter your score by time frame, browser, device, geolocation, whatever matters to you most. And what makes Raygun truly unique is the level of detail they provide so you can take action. Quickly identify and resolve front-end performance issues with full waterfall breakdowns, user session data, instance-level diagnostics of every page request, and a whole lot more. Visit Raygun.com today and take control of your Core Web Vitals. Plans start from as little as $8 per month. That's Raygun.com for your free 14-day trial.
So I think it will be we have lots of common component that can be pretty neatly displayed in the code, and it's good for a bigger project to maintain.
Yeah, so the one outstanding kind of wish list item for working with ng-templates, which I think is why they're probably not used so widely or so well known about, is that knowing what context properties are available to you. So like, for example, if someone sets up a component dropdown and they're using ng-template outlets, and they provide the context, say the item itself and an index and maybe some other property, knowing the names of those template input variables has to be done on looking at documentation. At the moment, you know, there isn't any sense of auto completion or type checking. So this is something which, you know, everyone was always asking me, is like, well, you know, can we, you know, have this type checking so that we know what properties are available or whether we've, you know, used the wrong name. So that is a feature which would make this so much easier to work with, but I still don't think it's quite there. Or possible yet. I mean, I might have to come back to that and try again with the latest versions. So that's where, if you are using ng-template outlet within a library component, it's critical that you provide your users with the documentation of which context names or, you know, properties are available. Because in my experience, you know, sometimes you're using these in a library, and the only way I was able to find out which context was provided was to go and look at their source code. So it's an important thing for library authors especially to know.
Mm-hmm. They currently are getting, what I remember, autocomplete for the just child component or something where you have input or output. I guess it's already there in the new version of VS Code, I guess. But yeah, for this templates thing, we need to check. I think... Yeah. It will come. That we have lots of VS Code extension.
Mm. So I think this is where it's one of those features where, because it is so flexible, mm-hmm. and you don't know where the template is coming from. So you know, you could be setting up your template and defining these input variables like let item or let content or let index, and this template could be passed anywhere in your application. It could go through a service, it could go through a store. So I think there would have to be some kind of link made to say, actually, you know, what I'm targeting here is this specific context. So that might be possible for, you know, library authors to create some kind of directive or some kind of, you know, explicit typing that you can then put on your template, and then maybe VS Code or Angular would be able to inspect the properties of that and say, okay, these are the, you know, the context objects that are available for you to use, because that would be, you know, a game changer for ease of use of these ng-template outlets.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good thing. Like the main thing I can think of is for a developer point of view, you will not need to worry about lots of things in your file, and you just focus on what you want and what you're developing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I've kind of often talked about, you know, library authors, but, you know, this applies within our own applications. There's things and components that we want to reuse in slightly different ways. And mm-hmm. you know, this gives you a way of, you know, cleanly separating that or giving you flexibility to swap templates in. And I've heard other people have used these to manage between like mobile view and desktop view, based on those kind of, you know, flags. You know, if you can just swap in different templates and you've extracted all that, you know, knowledge about mobile or desktop out of the core component, and it just says this is the data that's available, give me a template and I'll render it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good use case.
Yeah,
I think we can also check kind of if you can implement the checking the speed of the user's machine, then you can load smaller version of what you are loading. I'm just saying out loud that it also can be possible, I guess. If the speed is slow, if the user is using 3G, then so less data, so less image, use that template. Yeah, it's a pretty good.
Yeah, and I think I've another use case is that someone's used it with regards to accessibility, and I don't know whether it was layouts or translations or, you know, something along those lines, where I think it was to do with where, you know, left to right or right to left, and handling that in an easier way as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then sky is the limit.
Yeah.
And use anything.
It's definitely a feature where once you've grasped it and understood it, you suddenly come across lots of different use cases where it's like, oh, actually, this would be a lot cleaner using a template outlet. And mm-hmm. becomes much more natural in terms of how you set them up. And yeah, the benefit just keeps on growing.
Yep.
Sonny, have you done anything with these?
Oh, I've had conversations with a friend of mine that told me about it. I don't think correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a later addition into, I think, version 4 or 5 or 6, right? Somewhere around that, right?
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I still do things pretty much. I mean, I used NG template, so I do like a lot of, I guess, I find myself still doing the all NG if or the NG if else way of, mm-hmm. because a lot of time, or maybe the NG switch technique as well. But I would agree with you, when you have more than two things, the NG if and else doesn't make sense anymore. And when you start NG switching with a lot of like component parts, yeah, when someone's gonna cry when they're about to test that piece of code. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, it's easy for us to write the piece of code, but when testability comes into question, that's when something like what you're talking about comes it really into play as well in its own, because it's much more cleaner to test, much more easier to isolate versus, mm-hmm. you know, figuring out what's on the screen. So I should probably be looking to do that.
Yeah, that's a really good point about testing, because you then have that complete isolation. As you said, the component where you're defining this template, all that you really need to test there is that it provides the correct context properties to that template. And you can set that up in a test with a test component or test template. And so then that part of the component is completely tested, and that's it. Whereas then you're testing for, you know, the rendering of the specific templates themselves can then be done separately and nicely isolated in that sense.
Yep.
So your article said that you've used this for like your kids. Where have you used this at work?
Well, yes, that was a way of keeping my clients' identities, you know, hidden and pleasing me, you know, keeping it separate from
fair enough.
Because it's all, you know, their code is all very private, you know, and, you know, they're concerned about, you know, security issues. So I thought, well, yeah, let's change the context. But the code, you know, that I've used in the demo, that's all pretty much the same code in the same kind of use case. You know, it was a drop-down selector. But yeah, no, that was just something to make it easier for me to give the talk, really.
Can I prefer that? Is this like in the education space?
No. No, it was finance.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely something I think we should look into using. Every time I've had to do anything that has to do with templates, I kind of go down the component inheritance route, which is a little bit more, I guess, sometimes over-engineered or easily over-engineered, but that's kind of the part I've had to, for my needs specifically, that has made a lot of sense. But then I'll be honest with you, there's been places where I'm just thinking about what you're presenting. It kind of makes sense because sometimes you have certain things where we want to, like, we're white labeling applications and we want to make sure that, like, each application has its own interpretation. And sometimes you got to, like, provide that ahead of time. And with NG component, what you're talking about, the outlet, that would make everything easier versus us really trying to, like, find and insert things, because that's kind of what we do sometimes. So I'd really like to dive deep into that particular article at my own time and really see potentially you might actually be saving me a lot of code here. Yeah, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, and another thing which I guess it did off the back of this was, you know, raise a ticket with the documentation team to ask for, I guess, a clearer example on the, you know, the Angular docs themselves. Because I think if you go to it without really knowing, you know, what it's doing, you know, the current example, it doesn't really show you the potential of what's possible with it. And it's quite overwhelming. It's, you know, it's a hard thing to, I think, document clearly and show the potential, all the different potential use cases. So yeah, so hopefully they'll, whether it will become under a guide or a different reference, but, you know, because in general the docs, the Angular docs are coming forward and, you know, and getting so much better that, you know, they're doing a really good job there. So hopefully this will come through at some point.
Yeah, the last person that requested for a demo change to the Angular documentation took a trip to Venus and has come back 6 times, but the change hasn't happened. So,
yeah. Well, it's good to see that the docs are coming along. Hopefully we can get this in there. Because, yeah, I feel like with stuff like this, if you understand the use cases and you understand the trade-offs between the other options, then you can start to really go, you know what? We're really in a position to take advantage of this. But if nobody sees it, then it's hard to, it's like, well, are you watching all the talks from all the Angular conferences and, you know, doing the other things where you might pick this up in other places? And it's hard to have time for all that. So yeah, the docs are kind of the landing place for most people. So hopefully we'll see them in there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Well, anything else we should cover on this before we move on to picks? No? All right. Let's do picks then.
Hey folks, if you love this podcast and would like to support the show, or if you wish you could listen without the sponsorship messages, then you're in luck. We're setting up new premium podcast feeds where you can get all of the episodes released after Christmas 2020 without the ads. Signing up will help us pay for editing and production, and you can go sign up at devchat.tv/premium.
Subrat, you want to start us off with picks?
Yes. So in the today's pick again, I'll pick a book. So it's a pretty heavy book. So it's Tools of Titans. It's by my team Ferris. Yeah, obviously I haven't read all, but it's feel like you just open a page and you will got some kind of answer. So there are some prettier sections. So I think it's a pretty good book.
Nice. How about you, Sunny?
Hey, that is interesting. I found. Okay, think carefully, Sunny. Think. You got one shot at this. So I guess my pick for this week would be MongoDB Atlas. It's crazy, right? I don't know. I feel like it's the most underrated tool out there. And I find myself, for example, I've been using it for a while, but this weekend I learned about how I would need an API call and I'd go like create a Heroku instance, right? Mm-hmm. But MongoDB has functions and what's it called? That made it so easy. You could just extend a HTTP like few functionality. Mm-hmm. So basically it's like Lambda functions, but on steroids with everything. So you just create, if you can access anything by cur, like by standard HTTP or REST, you can just put that in there in the function and no need to spin up a browser and a server or anything. And that was really cool. I did not know it had that feature. So now I'm having to not need Heroku. And I can just do everything about my app database and functions, all of that external API integration, all of that. It even has like an integration for how you can store your secrets as a secret and then create a value that reads the secret So like it's so mature. So yeah, I guess my pick of the week would go to MongoDB Atlas. Yeah, check that out. It's nice too.
Awesome. I'm going to throw out a pick for Monday.com. So it's kind of my task manager for a lot of stuff. And I added a software project to it, and it has been really easy to manage all my stuff in there. And so I'm going to pick them. I kind of use it for tasks within the business too. And so it's nice to have it in one place, but it manages a software project pretty well. So pretty happy with them. Steven, do you have some picks for us?
I'm going to go with TypeScript itself.
Yeah.
Because recently I've been, I guess, trying to invest, I guess, in my own knowledge of the types, and realizing that it enables you to define so much more in kind of like business logic in terms of how you can use even external libraries. So I've added some, you know, explicit typing around AZ Grid as well, in terms of, you know, defining column types and giving your users themselves via TypeScript, you know, autocomplete to say, these are all the predefined types or column types that we support. And that's just completely transformed my team's, you know, experience of using AZ Grid. Because now, you know, there's a username column, there's a date column, you know, set up, and this is all autocomplete. So if anybody goes and adds in a new type as well to all the common set, that will get flowed through to all the applications. And that's just by using, you know, a few lines of TypeScript to add this explicit typing on top of the interface. And just the benefit you get from it is huge. So I'm going to pick TypeScript and spending the time to learn it a little bit better.
Yeah, and also cool. TypeScript also behind the scene, it will make our code run faster in the browser or in the node, because they are providing the type, and the just-in-time compiler will run and it will make the code run faster. There's a very few people understand that, but that's a pretty, pretty good thing of TypeScript.
What is all this TypeScript witchcraft I'm hearing? I clearly didn't get the class. When everybody was going to TypeScript Hogwarts, I must have missed the train. Yeah,
so, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just in my last project. I've written about it. I will share the link. But yeah, there's this sudden like benefit that you can get from it with not actually learning or, you know, or having to use too much. And so I think it's, you know, it was something that I was trying to then, you know, make sure the rest of my team understood, and, you know, and how we can use these types to really benefit each other.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. One more question. And that is, if people want to get in touch with you or see what you're doing these days, follow you maybe on Twitter, GitHub, or just reach out, where do they go?
Yeah. Twitter's the best place. It's at ScooperDev, ScooperDev.
ScooperDevs are cool. All right. Good deal. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. Thanks for coming. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks. Till next time, Max out.
Bye-bye.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit cachefly.com to learn more.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.